okay? It's a great privilege for you to have my wife and I with you.
Hallelujah!
And it's a great privilege for us to meet with you.
Hallelujah.
That make you feel a bit better? All right. Now I want you to do this because this is a faith weekend.
Yes.
All right. Now I'd like you think of the words I'm going to say, and then I want you to turn to somebody and say the words that I am about to say. This is what I'd like you to say to the person next to you. These are the words. You are sitting tonight by one of the most important people in the world. Excuse me, the lady in red. The lady in red. There is a song called The Lady in Red. Could I ask your name, please? Christian, can you tell me what I just said?
The thing
that we're supposed to talk to each other about. Yes?
Yeah.
In the world.
In the world. Yeah.
Did you tell that lady that?
Yes. Yeah.
Did she tell you that?
Yeah.
And you're now writing it down? Are you writing that down?
No.
You're not writing that down?
No, I'm writing down.
Because I was wondering, I haven't said anything else.
Yeah,
what could you be writing if I have not said anything else? This is not to put you off. It's just for you all to know that sometimes I will just suddenly say, you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it means you've got to pay attention. Okay? It keeps us all alert and awake.
Yeah.
Now then, I'm going to ask you to do something as little groups together. Say there's four in the front row here. There's five in the front row. Four. Four and four. That would be good. And if you take a row each, what I'd like you to do is talk together for a little while and tell me a faith story, either from the Gospels or the Book of Acts, that you can think of. You can discuss it. And then after you discuss it for, say, 3 or 4 minutes, I'm going to ask you, I'll pick on one of you to say, can you tell me the story and tell us the story that you chose? Right? From the book, from the Gospels, 4 Gospels, and the Book of Acts, 28 chapters, that you can say, this is the faith story, or the story where faith is involved, that we've been talking about. Could we do that? Okay, so together, you may have to lean over. Okay? Right, we can, let's see then what stories we've had. So let's take the front row here on the right. Steiner, is it you?
Yeah.
Would you be kind enough to tell us what was the story that you 4 great people talked about? Right.
That he would heal him.
Yeah. Okay. Did anyone else have that same story? Yes? Second row there. Yes. Story, 4 friends bringing a man lowering him down through the roof after smashing up the roof, and lowering him in front of Jesus, and Jesus heals him. Is that correct? Yes? Good. The next row, the lady with the yes, next to the lady in red. Are you Italian? You're not Italian, are you? You speak with your hands, you know? Yeah. All right. Okay. The feeding of the 5,000 plus, the feeding of the 5,000 plus, the miracle there of having faith. I'm not sure who had faith in that story, but clearly the disciples didn't have it, but we'll come back to that later. So, did anyone else talk about the feeding of the 5,000 plus? No one else. So there's two good stories. Excellent. The three ladies at the back. I was going to say the three amigos, but you are the three amigas. But so, what was your story? Disciples in the boat on the water. Right. Well, we'll stop at he walked on the water. Okay? We're looking for faith right now. Okay. Never end the sermon up sinking. All right? Always start where faith is. Good. Anyone else have that story? Ah. So I'm going to delete you. Delete.
I've had it almost the same.
Did your whole group have the same?
No. Just mine.
Or just you? Are you in a group? Or are you by yourself?
No.
We'll come back to you. It's a very interesting thing you've got. It's okay. Don't worry about it. All right? Don't worry about it. But we are locking up some people tonight. I'm sorry? You did. Did you have a common? You did. We'll come back for the common later. But you, I will come back to you. You can offer, your private interpretation. That's okay. The very back row, there's only two of you. Did you talk about a story? You had the same as that. Okay. Delete. Next row, forward. Can we have the lady in the red scarf? Touched Jesus' garment. Did she have faith? She did. So we are now into the this is the first case where we see somebody who's got faith. You know? Good. Anybody have that story? That row? Delete. Very good, though. It's good that you had that. Very good. The next row forward. Look at us, we are Norwegians, we have no money. Yes, we are. Yes.
No, they were Galilean.
Oh, Galilean, okay.
But they said to him, what we have, we will give you.
Right.
Stand up and walk.
Yeah. What did they give him?
Health.
They gave him health, did they?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Very good. Did anybody else have that story?
Yes.
Right, delete. It's a terrible thing to delete an apostle and prophet, isn't it? Back row here. Back row. I'm sorry?
We had a story about the officer that came to Jesus because his servant boy was lame.
The officer who came to Jesus for his servant. Wow. So the officer had faith, and yet he wasn't a believer. Only for that moment. Yes? We'll come back to this. These are all wonderful things. I don't know what we're going to do with them, but it's a nice exercise. Next row forward. These are the school. This is the Bible school people.
We had a story with Ananias.
Yes? He had faith in the word of God. Anybody have that story? Ananias meeting Saul of Tarsus for the first time. Nobody else? Good story. We'll keep that. Deletion. Yeah, I remember. Front row.
Yeah, we had when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead.
When Jesus, how many of you had Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Clearly Lazarus didn't have faith. No? No? So it's a good faith story, though, isn't it? I like that. We'll come back to that one. That's a good story. Somebody's got faith, but it ain't Lazarus. Okay. I like being in Norway. I learn things here all the time. Back row here. I'm so sorry, sir. And a deletion in deletion second row. The front row?
We had that day of Pentecost.
Yes.
When the people, the Jews, really think the apostles are drunk. And Peter stands in front and have faith to say the gospel and give faith to 3,000.
Wonderful. I knew somebody would bring up drink. Every time I come to Norway, somebody always raises the issue of being drunk or drink. You're the most happy people in the world. You know? It's very good. Did anyone else have that story? Right? Nobody else. Now, in all the stories you've heard of, in which stories did you find people having faith in Jesus who themselves were not believers? That is, quote, they were not Christians. Yes, you had a story about the centurion.
Yes?
I've asked you to choose, you see, from stories in the Gospels. And all of you chose stories in the Gospels that were pre-cross and pre-resurrection. That is, before the cross and before the resurrection. But nobody could be saved until the resurrection. Hello?
Yeah.
Bible students, nobody could be saved until after the resurrection. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Jesus himself had not been raised from the dead, we are still in our trespasses and sins. It's not the cross. The cross is only a part of the story of redemption. But if Jesus had only died on the cross and Jesus was buried, if he had not been raised from the dead, nobody could be saved. So you are telling me stories about faith about people who were not Christian. This is the first thing I want to say to you. Faith is not the preserve of Christians. Every day and all today, you have operated in faith. Not because you're Christians, just because you're part of humanity. How many of you travel on an aeroplane today? Now we're bringing in the ones who are deleted. Back row. How many of you got on the plane with intrepidation, with fear, that you may not get here? You had confidence to get here? Who did you have confidence in? You did?
And the pilot.
Yes, right, and the pilot. You do things without thinking. Let's think of what we could do without me electrocuting myself. Does this work?
Yes.
Does it work in this room or outside?
Yes.
All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and yes. That's what the prophet meant by that. Right? I don't know. It doesn't affect here. But generally, if you throw a switch, it puts either the light on and the light off. I do not know anything about electricity. Nothing at all. We have apprentices in this room who are apprentice electricians. I don't know anything about that. All I'm told is, Kerry, you switch that on and lights will come on. And you know what? I just switch them on, they come on. My wife tells me, just plug that kettle into the plug, push that switch down, and the kettle will boil. I don't think, will it? I do it because my wife told me. I always do what my wife tells me. In the kitchen. See, you didn't let me finish the sentence. But we do things in life, we don't even think about it. You just do them. You just do. How many of you have tied your shoelaces up today? Raise your hand, okay? Let's see. Sir, you tied your shoelaces up today. Do you do them with a single knot or a double? A single knot or a double knot? A single knot. You always tie them a single knot? Do you ever believe they'll come undone? Or do you believe they'll be there permanently for the day? Or don't you think about it? Or don't you think about it? You just think, I've done that job, let's move on. Yeah? That's what I mean in life. You do things, you don't think about it, you just move on. See? But Christians get into a whole bag of nerves and stress over the issue of faith. And you think, why? Why? Why get into the... You live by faith. It's what the Bible says. We live by faith. It's as easy as breathing. It's not in a meeting, oh God, give me faith, give me faith, give me faith. I really want faith, I really want to go faith. I really want to speak in tongues, give me faith. He said, and God said, just speak in tongues.
Yes.
Get over the issue.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yes.
No? I have a friend I do not like going shopping with him. Because he decides what to buy, and then he kind of takes his money out. Let's say this is, I think, Norwegian money. And he's like this when he wants to buy something. He's like this. And I look at him and say, do you want to buy it or don't you want to buy it? Yes, I want to buy it. I really want to buy it. Then buy it. Give the money to the man. Do you understand?
Yes.
You see, when we read the scripture, God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
It's not merely the elder telling you, God really loves you as cheerful givers. Give, 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 give. No. If the elder is going to give to a preacher or a minister come in, God says this, I want you to be a cheerful giver.
Yes.
Hello. I was just talking about, how are you? You just arrived?
Huh?
Are you for this conference?
Yes.
And where have you come from?
Egerson.
Who was it? Well, welcome. Thank now we've got, let's see, how about this seat here?
Yeah,
is that okay?
No.
There we are. Is that okay?
No.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Well, wasn't that on time? We're just talking about a cheerful giver and in he walked. Another visual aid from the Lord.
Yes.
But if you're going to give something to someone, do it with a smile.
Yes.
You know, if you're going, even going to slap somebody, do it with a smile. Let them know, I don't want to do it, but I want to do it. But be cheerful.
Yes.
Now, God says this, live your life in this way, by grace. We have been saved. Through faith. It's not because of what we've done. It's simply a free gift. God has given to us a free gift. It's all free. He says, now live with that. That what is the gift that he's given to us? What is the gift he's given to us? What gift has God given to us? Faith in
him.
Where does he live?
Heaven.
Is the gentleman next to you, is he related? Is he related to you? This gentleman?
No, we're not.
You're not related? Pardon? I'm sorry? Are you married? Oh, you're married. I just want to know. I thought you were a ventriloquist because you were talking and the wife is listening and she's kind of mouthing what you're saying. Oh, you understand? Now then, what has God given to us?
Part of his kingdom for us to be in his kingdom.
Yes. Who's in there?
Jesus.
Yes. Is Jesus in there? Is Jesus the man in there?
Yes.
Is Jesus the man in there?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm surprised. Is Jesus the man in here? Or is Jesus the man there? Well, you know, he can't be both. Yes! Where was that voice from? Out of the depths that I cried. The Holy Spirit! Who is this man? What is he? I remember you. How are you, sir? Is it this Philippe or someone?
Yes.
Yes? This is Philippe. He says, the Holy Spirit lives in me.
Yes.
Now, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, turn to somebody and with a loud voice say, the Holy Spirit lives in me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Wow. This is a conference. Please understand that. That's the big difference between us and the world.
Yes. Amen.
Romans chapter 8. If you are a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you.
Yes.
Amen. And all he is saying to all of us is, please let me live my life through you. That's all being a Christian is. Going down the road, you're doing your shopping, you're just walking step after step. You don't think about it, but you're walking by faith. You say, but I'm not believing, brother. You don't have to believe. You just have to do that. One step after another, according to your human experience, your body is moving as it should move. One step after another. You don't go hopping like a kangaroo. You just walk one step after another. You don't think about it. You just do it. You walk down the road and suddenly you see something, or you may not see something, but into your mind comes something. Pray about Philippe. Pray about Erling. So you begin to pray about Philippe, and you begin to pray about Erling. He says, pray about that friend that you met today. Pray about that lady who was not well today. Pray about that man who said, you just do it. You don't think about it, you just do it. You got the Nike sign written all over you. Just do it. That is what faith is. Faith is just doing what the Spirit tells you to do. Not difficult. Just hear him say something to you. Go into that shop. Buy a loaf of bread. And this is for you. You need bread in the house. And then you're just walking away. And the Holy Spirit says, buy two loaves of bread. Now you've learned so much about the Holy Spirit, you no longer question, why should I buy two loaves of bread? You just buy two loaves of bread. Because you know there's a reason for that. Here's a story. Somebody had the feeding of the 5,000. Second row. Listen to what Jesus said. I might talk about it this Sunday, but listen to what Jesus said. Jesus come to a situation, there's been many miracles, many healings. Many people are following him. He goes with his disciples away into a little quiet place. And then the word of God says, and he looked up and he saw this tsunami of people coming towards him. Then he poses a question. He says to his disciples, what can we do? Not what I can do or what you can, but what can we do to solve this problem? You see, a lot of Christians got this idea, where faith is needed, I'll put it all on God. He says, no, no, no. And God doesn't put it all on you. He simply says, we're going to work together. So the first disciple said, because he was a penny counter, he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And he was going through quick, like an Irish abacus. And then he suddenly said, Lord, even 200 pennies of bread are not sufficient to feed these. Not sufficient to feed these. In other words, he had no faith that this could be done. Is that true?
Yes.
Then another disciple popped up. One was Philip, now is Andrew. He said, Lord, there's a little boy here, and he's got five loaves of bread and two fish. He saw the need. He heard what Jesus said. What can we do? He said, Lord, there's a boy here with five loaves and two fish. But what's that among so many? If he'd only stopped. There's a boy here with five loaves and two fish. Hallelujah, glory to God, you can do it. Hello. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Yes. So Jesus looks at him and he thought, he's given up. It says, and Jesus takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blesses it. And then what does he do? What does Jesus then do? Before he did that, what did he do? What did he do? He blessed and
lifted it up.
And what did he do? What did he say? He gave thanks. He said, "Thank you, Father." Now, please understand this story. He said, the Word of God says, he asked the disciples the questions, but he knew what he was going to do. He arranged the circumstance to try out, where's your faith at, boys? And he gives thanks. Later in the chapter, you find this, that people came across the ocean, came across from Tiberias to the place where Jesus gave thanks. Not when he fed 5,000, but where he gave thanks. If you want to see miracles, start giving thanks.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't give thank you for when you've got abundance. Give thanks for what you've got.
Yes.
Suddenly he's putting his hands in his, Father, thank you. Thank you. And the disciples are looking at him saying, he's only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. No, Jesus, I've got the means to feed all of these people. Never ever look at what you don't have. Just look at what you do have. You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Just try. That's what faith is. It's not looking at what you don't have. It's looking at what he has.
Yes.
All it took was, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish from Andrew's hand and said, just give it to me. In your hands, you're not going to do anything. Just give it to me. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Now, you 12. Yeah. Go feed him now. Go on. Now it's going to take faith for them to do that.
Yeah.
One of them had already said, there's not enough here that they might have a little. But it says that they were all filled.
Yeah.
And then to prove the point, there's 12 baskets left over.
Yeah.
We've got a big God.
Yeah.
And you know whose side he's on?
Yes.
Your side. Doesn't that make you feel important?
Yes.
Just a little bit? You say, oh, great glory to God. He lives in me. If the same Jesus, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, he will quicken my mortal body.
Amen.
Sorry about that, but I get excited, you know, those things.
Please do.
Understand that. Yeah. You need to get excited.
Yeah.
Faith causes you excitement.
Yes.
Now then, about faith, because time's gone, and I said to Erling today, I said, we're having a meeting with the young people, and I said, it's going to be late. He said, young people just love late nights. I said, well, then why did they ask the old people to take the meeting? You understand? You may be having a lovely late night, but I'm thinking, God, I'm already in bed. But faith is the one ingredient that pleases God. Turn with me to you in your Bibles, please. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6. Now, it's very important to look the scriptures up. It's very important to get used to turning pages or computers or whatever that you find the scriptures on. But get yourself acquainted with the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by and through the word of God.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Sir, in the front row, you've got a lovely computer there or an iPad, whatever it is. Could you kindly read that verse for us and shout it out loud, please?
Okay. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
How many of you heard that? Hands up if you heard it. Now, hands up means this way. Right up. All right, you heard it. Okay, you heard it.
I heard it.
I'm sorry? You heard it, sir. It is impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. Now, some people come to me and say, oh, brother, I really wanted God to do so and so, but I haven't got faith. You can't please him. I'm living my Christian life, but I've got no faith. You don't bring him pleasure. It is impossible to bring God pleasure without faith. That's why the Bible says the just, us, we live by faith. We bring God pleasure by exercising faith. By just simply believing him. You say, well, how do you, Kerry, really exercise faith? I just do what he tells me to do. Say, for instance, in this meeting. Suddenly people say, oh, I got a word of knowledge, it's a dream, or it's a vision or something, or just a feeling. It can be anything. But you're looking across the room and suddenly the Holy Spirit prompts you. He tells you something. You may not know the detail. He just says, go and pray for that lady. Go and pray for that man. See, why? No. I didn't ask you to ask that question. Just told you, go and pray for that person. The Holy Spirit is trying to teach us to immediately do what he tells us to do. Not to pause, not to think, just do. Like tonight, we had a lovely gentleman who was playing the guitar. Good job, sir. I say thank you for playing the guitar. And all these people are so grateful to you, they want to say thank you too. Do you understand? No promptings. But it's important we do say thank you to people that help us in our time. I want to thank the lady for leading in worship. Thank you very much for doing that. But do you know what could have been more exciting in that time together? That there's an injection into it. Prophecies. Words of knowledge. Words of a discerning. Gift of healing, a tongue, interpretation, rather than we're all singing, but you just think there's an injection needed. You've been in meetings and think there's an injection needed. It's been going on a long time, and we're singing, and we're singing, and we're singing, and we're singing, but there's something needed. It's called an injection of the Holy Spirit. Anybody been in meetings like that?
Yes.
I was listening to a young man who was teaching in England last week, and he said, don't talk to me about blood. I don't like blood. I don't like injections. Every time I see an injection coming to me, I end up on the floor. I thought, he's going to be a great missionary. So I said to him publicly, you've got to get over that. If you want to go to Africa, and if you want to go into China, and you want to go to Asia, you've got to get over that. There's lots of blood out there. Gotta get over that. But sometimes you feel somebody needs to come into this huge, somebody carrying a huge vaccination injection to a meeting. And you're just waiting. And suddenly there's this pause, and it's just been singing and suddenly saying, and God says, put that injection in there. and you feel like you're injecting a horse. And suddenly the whole congregation is alive. Things are happening all over the place. People getting saved, people repenting, people getting filled with the Holy Ghost and healed just because of this injection. Please understand, we are not here this weekend to hear me. Holy Spirit wants to hear you. Wants to see you moving in faith. Getting words about people in the gathering. And please understand, they're not going to be words about your badness or your wrongness, because you're all living right. Smile. You're all living right. But things to help you when you need a word for direction of life. Words of knowledge are not only there to discern a sickness. Words of knowledge are there to convey health. Apostles need words of knowledge when they go to see works. People ask them, come in and see this marvelous work. And they go in there and the Holy Ghost shows them the work is rotten. Got to move with those things. The words of knowledge come to different people for different things. For some people it's for body, some people it's for mind, some people it's for churches, some people it's for relationships. You need the words of knowledge. What's wrong in this relationship? What is really at the root of this? It's not merely him and him, him and her and her and him. There's a root issue here. The Holy Ghost shows you. And suddenly you bring that word of knowledge and suddenly there's a whole, it's like a cataclysmic event where a husband and wife suddenly, they just break. And the healing comes.
Yes.
Why? All you produce is a word. Now you don't walk around and say, oh, I had a word of knowledge. I really move in the word of knowledge. No, you didn't. It's only by God's grace.
Yes. Yes.
You're not Superman or Batman. You're just an ordinary person in whom Jesus lives by his spirit. And he wants to use you to help people. Just think, how many of you lead worship here? How many of you kind of are out there on a Sunday morning? Or raise your hands. Let's see who you wonderful people are. Okay? Philippe, do you do it as well as the lady talking to you? Yeah. Okay. Right? Now, you're on a Sunday morning. How many of you would love to see an injection into that meeting by the Holy Ghost that causes you to put aside all that you've been practicing and suddenly you can just stand back and enjoy God working in a gathering?
Amen.
How many of you would like that? You just think, phew, I'd love to have that. I used to lead worship and I did it for many years and sometimes you're just like, oh, and you're doing your best to signal the time, singing. And you're singing, and the musicians just go, and just go on, and somebody say, please stop. But you can't stop because the pastor sitting in front of you say, 30 minutes. The Holy Spirit is saying, it's 5 minutes, stop! If there's no life, go home! Get a cup of coffee! Have a cup of tea! Drink a Diet Coke, or if it's that bad, don't have a diet, get a full dollop of real Coke!
Yes!
Please understand, the Holy Spirit doesn't want us just to go through the motions in meetings. Doesn't want to think, boy, we had 2.5 hours this Sunday of absolute dirt. Doesn't want that. He just wants us to say, you come into the meeting, you may not feel good, or you come in feeling good. But when you leave that meeting, boy, that's right. Oh! It's all right, he's in the church here. He's in the church. It's just getting excited. But it's coming to the meeting to say, I am going to be a cheerful giver. I'm not coming to this meeting to give only. I'm coming to receive. But first, before I receive, I'm going to give.
Yes.
Faith is giving.
Yes.
A smile.
Yes.
Turn to somebody now and smile. You know, don't do that again. That was a total failure. How did we enter the kingdom of God? How do you enter the kingdom of God?
By faith.
By faith. By grace are you saved?
Through faith.
There are two elements. These are the two wings of a bird. They are a hinge to a door. Grace and faith always operate together. They're not separate. They always operate. If you're living in the wonderful grace of God, it's easy to move by faith. But you're able to say, brother, I'm just doing what the Spirit says to me. There isn't anything in me except the Holy Spirit. It's not, brother, there's nothing in me. I'm just a total sinner. No, wrong.
Yes.
Never, ever confess that.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Everything of God has is in you. Turn to me to a scripture, and I think I'll close on this because some of you are looking the worse for wear. You look like people at Pentecost. They look drunk. Or you look tired. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. And the gentleman here on the end, could I ask you, sir, would you kindly read that to us? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. You can read it in Norwegian if you like. Doesn't matter, we all understand it. Hallelujah. You say, did you understand that Norwegian? No. I just knew when he stopped, it was a full stop. But I do understand what he read. Let me read it to you in English. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. By his divine power, God has given to us everything we need. Not something. Everything. We need to live a godly life.
Yes.
There's never a time that you or I could come to God and say, Lord, I need this to live a godly life. He said, I've given it to you. If you want to live a life of faith, here's one of the major keys you're going to learn before you go to bed. You've got to say what the Word says. The Bible says, a day will come when every one of us will stand before God and give an account, that's what the Bible says in Matthew's Gospel, and give an account for every careless word that we said. Do you know what people usually call careless is not careless? These are careless words. It's not saying what the Bible says. Well, brother, I know what the Bible says, but that's not how I feel. It's got nothing to do with how you feel.
No.
You know, brother, I don't know. Sometimes I feel lost and sometimes I feel saved. Sometimes I feel saved and sometimes I feel lost. Decide you're saved. If you feel lost and fall out of bed, get back into bed and fall out the other side and say, I'm saved. But you say what the Bible says. Oh, brother, if you really know how messed up I was, I don't know and I don't want to know. All I know is he did a good job of cleaning you up. And he didn't leave behind one little sin he didn't remove. Now, please understand this. This is not the atonement. The atonement was blood that covered. We're talking about a New Testament shedding of blood by Jesus Christ. It's removal time. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you and removes all sin from you. That you can stand. Now that's what he's done to remove things. This is what salvation is. Removal! And now addition! You received his spirit. You received his life. You received his power. You received his promises. You received his word. He's put faith in you. For every man has received a measure of faith. We all have a measure of grace. And you suddenly walk around thinking, gosh, somebody lives in me. Has anybody ever seen a Superman film? I know it's hard to say to Christians, have you ever seen a film? Is there anyone here who has seen a Superman film? Have you seen it? It's strange, really, you know. And he wears this suit under his shirt all the time. But there we are. And he suddenly sees this danger, and he rushes into a telephone box. And suddenly he said, dun, 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 dun. Yes. He comes out all muscular. He's a Superman. And suddenly, whoosh, he's flying. And then suddenly he's dousing fires and putting them out just with the breath of his mouth. Did you remember the first announcement we had tonight in this meeting? If there is a fire,
yes.
What do you do? Run! If there's a fire in the Holy Ghost, stay around.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
But I do thank our brother for bringing it to our attention. If there's a fire, get out of this place quickly. But so many people are afraid of the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be. He won't damage you. He won't hurt you. Now let me say this to you. He is not a gentleman. Some people in a meeting, they sometimes like this, they stand. I remember a man, he was what was called a, in those days, he was called a catcher, you know. He would stand behind people. And I used to watch this young man catching people. And I used to think, he really is running away. He doesn't want God to get hold of him. He was always first up to help other people. See? But he didn't want to be prayed for, didn't want anything, see? And this one particular night, he was in this meeting, and this young lady came forward, a whole line of people, and this young lady was standing there, and he was immediately out there behind her. And I said, God, I want you to hit him.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit heard. And I moved towards this girl, and suddenly the catcher crashed. Out totally cold.
Hallelujah.
For the whole meeting.
Yes.
It's as if to say, God said, I'm going to get him.
Yes.
He's not going to hide from me anymore.
Hallelujah.
You understand?
Yes.
Now, this is a wonderful thing about this weekend. God has my number, and he's got your number.
Amen.
Yeah, now, don't go around the room tonight or tomorrow looking and say, I wonder what you're telling me about her. I wonder what about her. No. There are people like that. You know? I can imagine Jesus is like that. Can you? Walking down the street. He wasn't like that. He was just an ordinary guy who walks into the room just like you did tonight. The only difference, he wouldn't have wore that hat. But I do like your hat.
Hallelujah.
But he's just an ordinary guy walking down the street. He's just doing ordinary things. And he has friends. And he hears about one of his friends dying. You had the story. Heard about his friend dying. His disciples say to him, first, before the death announcement, they said, your friend Lazarus is very sick. You better come down and do something about it. He said, let's have a little holiday here. They said, don't you understand? The one friend that you really love, he's very sick. He said, let's have a holiday. So they have a few days holiday. And then he's thinking, and suddenly they get news. You know, your friend, don't bother, he's dead. Jesus said, let's go and see him.
Wow.
Can you imagine living with a guy like that? He wouldn't go when he was sick. Now he's dead, he wants to go and see him. Now, this is not just a fairy story. This is real. This is why you can move in faith when you actually read the stories of the Bible and you suddenly say, this actually happened and they will continue to happen because this Jesus is still alive.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Yes.
So he goes down to the tomb. Oh, the lady comes out. If you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died. Well, I am here. Where is he? You don't want to see him. He's been in that tomb now for a few days, and by now, he said, that's okay. Roll the stone away. Don't you know he's dead? Roll the stone away. Didn't say it twice. Because where people have no faith, that does not mean that faith can't operate. I want to make this clear to you, and I've been in ministry for 49 years. Because people you're praying for say to you, you have no faith, that does not mean that you can't move in faith. Your faith is not based on their condition. Your faith is based on the living Christ. Please understand this too when you're going to pray for sick people. Don't ask them about what's wrong. You wouldn't have a clue if they tell you. Not going to make you any more knowledgeable. You suddenly go to somebody, they may look as if have the symptoms of flu. And you suddenly say, I want to pray for you. What's the problem? And they suddenly say, I think we've got Ebola. I wonder if you lay hands on them then or you back off 100 miles an hour. Please understand this. See, it's so easy to say things. But faith is the positiveness of knowing. God's told me to pray for you. Roll the stone away. Call to the loud voice. Lazarus, come out. He comes out. He goes to a pool and he sees hundreds of people all around. They're all sick. He went to one man. Didn't pray for all of them. Why? He said this, I can only do what I see my Father doing. I can only say what I hear my Father saying.
Yes.
Now that means he's sensitive to the Lord.
Amen.
Now please, when he says about his Father, he wasn't like this, what are you saying, Father? What are you saying? He didn't bump into things. You do that if you walk around like that. His disciples said, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
Jesus and his Father were one.
Amen.
He was hearing his Father all the time. And he says, now this same ability is yours.
Yes.
It's yours.
Yes.
So tomorrow morning when we meet together, and I'm not asking you to wait up late and go by your bedside and pray until all through the night to get a word, what can I bring in the morning? You have your own ways of devotion and prayer. Do just the same as you've always done.
Yes.
But when we come together, come with an expectation to give something. Don't only think of prophecy. Let the Lord give you a dream in the night. Don't have to think about it. You just get dreams. The young man said to me just 2 weeks ago, he said, I want you to know, brother, I live by dreams. I said, you do? He said, yes. I said, time to wake up. You'll never live in this life just living by dreams. Just living by the word. Do you understand? It's nice to see you sitting quiet tonight. You're a bit noisy today. But you look at the situation. Tomorrow morning we're meeting together at what time?
Half past nine.
Half past nine? Do they have a breakfast before that? Or is it best that they fast before the meeting? You understand? You get a free meal. Or they paid, have they? In the natural, you're going to get what you've paid for. In the spiritual, you can get food that you don't need to pay for. And tomorrow when we're leading in worship, the people that are going to come into this room by faith are going to encourage those that are leading us in worship. And they're going to sing songs that are sensitive to what the Spirit is doing. And we are going to help them understand what the Spirit is doing by contributing by tongue and interpretation and by prophecy and various other gifts of the Spirit in the room. And I want you, sir, to think, don't think that you can't do it. Because you can. Better to say, you will.
Hallelujah.
What's your name?
Jerickson.
Chase?
Jerickson.
Jerickson. That's a nice name. Rather unusual name.
Very unusual.
But it's a nice name. Jerickson. That is a nice name, isn't it? Yes. Could I ask, where are you from? Yes, which part?
Bergen.
Or you're from this city?
Yes. But my parents are from Sri Lanka.
Or Sri Lanka. But you are from this city?
Yes.
Is there anyone else from this city with Jerickson? Anyone else from Bergen, is it? Bergen. Hands up. Right hands up from Bergen. Right, hands down from Bergen. How about, where else? Tromsø. Wow, you've come a long way. It's great to see you, good gentleman.
Thank you.
The Sortland area. Sortland? Good, good. Hello, nice to see you again. Any other places?
Oslo.
Oslo? How many from Oslo? From the capital city. Wonderful.
Sheehan.
Oslo too? No. Sheehan. Sorry?
Chickeness?
Chickeness? No? How do you say it in Norwegian?
Chickeness.
Say it slowly now.
Chickeness.
Chickeness. Oh, that's okay. Anyone from Chickeness? Oh. I thought there was a new place in Norway, Chickeness. Any other places? Yes?
Sutra.
Any other people on Sutra? Yes? Do you know the lady here from Sutra? Hands right. Do you know this lady?
Yes.
Yes? Is she a good lady?
Very good lady.
She's a good lady. Do you know this lady? Is she a good lady? Okay, that's okay. Tomorrow you can sit next to each other for saying those things. Any other places represented? So we've covered all the bases.
Hashtag.
I'm sorry?
Hashtag.
Hashtag. Are you from Hashtag? Are you from Hashtag? Anyone else from Hashtag? Yes. Do you know the gentleman over there? Is he a good man? Are these good people, sir?
Yeah.
Good. How are things in Hashtag?
It's
just fine.
Yeah.
Well, they must be because you are there. Now say these words after me before we leave this room. Let's say you were in Oslo. First, you name the place that you live in. Okay? So because we live in different places, all you have to put is the name of the place you live in. You would say, Oslo is a better place because I'm living there. Sheehan is a better place because I'm living there. So could you insert your name now into that?
Yeah.
Just make a bold declaration about the place you are living in is better because you live there. Could we say that? Let's go. Want you to sleep well? Don't think about the meeting. When you go to bed, you go to bed to sleep. When you wake up in the morning, you go for breakfast. Break the fast at breakfast. Eat as much as you want to, or as much as they let you. And after that, we're going to come together to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And we're going to give him the best.
Amen.
We're going to present to him a feast.
Amen.
And we're going to say, we're all going to contribute. Because we are saying tonight, I've decided that by faith, I will move in things that I've never moved in before.
Amen.
Not only for this time of this weekend, it's when you leave here that you'll continue just to move. Just because the Holy Spirit tells you.
Hallelujah.
And for some of you, the first thing you've got to conquer is simply this, just hearing yourself say something.
Yeah.
Good. Very good. Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't worry about it.